time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Every Anabe sofa is modular, allowing you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquids simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink-in feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get early access to Black Friday now. The biggest sale of the year can save you up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the press. It's Tuesday of the week for the AT&T Byron Nelson. I'm Ryan Malagy. Good to have you here. We're going to go over the model for that tournament today. Touch a little bit more, I guess, on LIV Golf Tulsa. Mostly, we're going to spend some time on the DP World Tour Soudal Open and the Cognizant Founders Cup on the LPGA. So, second show of the week that we usually do, go over the top 10 in my model that I do every week. Last week was one of those rare occasions in the last few years where the model did not produce the winner inside the top 13, 14. It's the first time in over a year, I think, that the winner came outside the top 20. Wyndham Clark was 35th in the model. Now, it's a long-term model, right? If you looked at this and we did a short-term version of this, you would find Wyndham Clark would probably be higher up on the list. Way higher if we did it in the last like 2 or 3 months. But it's a model with a 1 and 2 year window predominantly and not a big enough influence on recent trends that would suddenly vault Wyndham Clark into like the top 10, just the way that it is. And that's the caveat I throw behind every time I go over this, is that the long-term model, long-term view is the better view, but sometimes the long-term player, the better player, does not win. And that's totally okay and totally understandable. But you got to know that when I go over the top 10 here. Some things to point out about the Nelson. The field has gotten worse, really, in the last couple of days. There's been some movement in the field. The biggest, most important move in the field is Jordan Spieth withdrawing with an injury. He is replaced in the field. So the second best player in the field is out, and he would be second in the model, or at least in the top 5 in the model. Let's put it that way. And so instead, we've got a different top 10, so that's why he's not in it. And the odds have changed accordingly, because now Scottie Scheffler's in like the 4-to-1 range, 350 to, you know, plus 350 range, and it's going to get tougher to find some value here because of that second best player being gone. But that all said, not big adjustments otherwise down the board, except for Tyrrell Hatton. I think he was even 14-to-1, so I don't even know if he moved that much. So whatever money was going to Spieth is now probably going to go to Scheffler. That all said, here's the top 10 for this week. Scottie Scheffler is number 1 by a substantial margin over Hideki Matsuyama, who is number 2. We talked about him yesterday, really liking him, playing very well lately, and it seems to be a fit for this kind of golf course. Tyrrell Hatton is number 3. Matt Kuchar is number 4, and he has been playing some really good golf the last month and a half in terms of quality of finishes. I think he's had a good just comeback year this year. There's a good reason he's there. Tom Kim is 5th, and Jason Day is 6th. Aaron Wise is 7th. That's, again, a long-term view. He's a past champion here at Trinity Forest. The issue with Aaron Wise is that he's coming back to play after taking what amounts to a mental health break. He said he just didn't feel right out there, didn't feel good out there. He skipped the Masters, man. I mean, that's a big deal to skip the Masters because you're not in a good headspace. So, yes, he is 7th in this model, but I would be somewhat concerned if you were going to put something on him this week, because you just don't know what you're going to get. And I don't know what it's like to come back from that kind of thing. So do you have an immediate snap in into place and you're ready to play professional golf again, or are you kind of getting used to it again? It feels like the maybe proper comparison is like Matt Wolf, who walked away at different times and is still kind of battling with that. And one of the big reasons why he went to LIV was that. So, something to kind of put aside there. Number 8, Maverick McNealy. And I have really expected him to have won by now. He has not, obviously, and that's a shame. But he is capable, and there's a reason that he's 8th in the model. Adam Scott is 9th. I talked about him leading into the week. Like him a whole lot. Ben Griffin is 10th. Taylor Montgomery is 11th. Mark Hubbard, who literally just WD'd 2 minutes ago before we started recording this podcast, 12th. KH Lee, the two-time defending champion, is 13th. So even if you didn't have all of the data that tells you KH Lee clearly likes TPC Craig Ranch and has for the last 2 years, he would do well in this model. The course fit, the course strokes gained portion of this is about 10% of the model. So he is playing good golf relative to his peers in the field this week. And that's pretty much the top 10 worth noting. The one guy I will point out that's, I think we got something messed up here in one of the pieces, but Christian Bezuidenhout is 14th in the model, and I think he's worth looking at this week. That all said, that's your top 10. I don't think that's really particularly shocking, any of that. Some names maybe worth noting that might surprise you where they are in the model. Adam Schenck is 17th. Hank Lebioda is 22nd. Maybe could come out of nowhere. Matthew Neesmith is 25th. He's not had a good year, but played okay the last couple times out. Aaron Rye is 24th. I really like him. Steven Yeager, a lot of people probably will put some action on this week, is 29th. Just want to point those names out. And one name I did point out, or should point out now, doing the research into current form, Harry Hall, who's been in the top 15 in the last couple starts, is 32nd. And then we'll get into this with horse for course plays or current form plays. But Jimmy Walker is playing some pretty okay golf. Top 15 last two starts. One in a designated event at the Wells Fargo. One in an event I would consider weaker than this one even, which was the Mexico Open. And playing okay. So not saying he's going to win. And he had a nice run over at Harbortown before he faded. He might be someone worth looking at this week for a little bit of a surprise win. He is a Texan, so that might play up a little bit. I think he's worth looking at. So well, I just want to go back to the board for this week and give you a sense of what has moved around given that Spieth's now out of the field. So Scottie Scheffler, I believe, was 4.5-1 yesterday. He's now plus 360 at DraftKings. I've seen him plus 350 other books. Yeah, he's the best player in the field by far. Tyrrell Hatton shortened up a little bit. He was, I believe, 14 or 16, depending on where you look. DraftKings has him at 12. All these guys kind of came down about plus 200 from where they started the week with Spieth gone. The real impact here is on Scheffler going, in terms of percentage, significantly shorter than he was. But if you really liked the Decky at the start of the week and you hadn't bet him yet, you're losing plus 200. All right, whatever. That's fine. You should like him still. KH Lee, if you liked him at the start of the week, probably still like him now at plus 22 instead of plus 24. Kuchar was like 30. He got shorter. Some action must have come in on him. Scott, 30-1 is a great number for Adam Scott, in my view, given the way he's played recently. And I think he fits this golf course well. Steven Yeager's got shorter. People thought that was probably a good play this week. And if you didn't get that, I totally understand why you didn't bet him, but the window of value may be gone there on him. Adam Hadwin's playing pretty well. Seems like a decent course fit. Joseph Bramlett's played okay. T15 in the, and I talked about him yesterday, how I kind of like him and I shouldn't in terms of betting. Michael Kim is interesting. He's playing really, probably the best golf of his PGA Tour career this year and played very well the last couple of times out. So he's 55-1. Christian Bezuidenhout, I had the wrong number on my my model. He's 60-1, and I think that's a pretty decent number for where he ranks. But Adam Schenck, I like a little bit better at plus 6,500 for the week. Will Gordon, I think, will generate a little bit of attention at 70-1. Jimmy Walker, is 90-1. He's playing really well. You may not like him to win the golf tournament. He's plus 800 on a top 10. I'm willing to take that money. Garrett Kago, 100-1, I think he can win this golf tournament. Really can. And Harry Hall, who's been playing well, plus 130-1, plus 900 on a top 10. That one's worth looking at too, I think. And you might even want to throw a Harry Hall out there for a first round leader kind of bet. So that's where we are right now on the overall tournament winner market for this tournament. There's top 20s, 30s, 40s out there. Your plus money on your top 40s. Start at like Jimmy Walker at plus 110. Guy's playing great golf. Fire on it. Harry Hall, plus 125. Fire on it. Playing good golf. If you like that kind of bet and you just want a little bit of plus money, I think that's where you need to be. on those guys. Maybe even a Pearson Cootie. He makes the cut. He's got a chance probably to contend, not just to finish T60 or something. Plus 160 on that, I like quite a bit. Going down a little bit, I've seen some people like Lucas Glover quite a bit this week. That doesn't really rate out for me in the model, but they might be playing with certain statistics. So plus 200 on that is a pretty good number, I think. Very, very much worth looking at in my view. And I'll kind of stop there. Also wanted to look at some matchups. Again, I don't play these too often, but I look at tournament three balls or tournament matchups. They don't even have first round matchups here that I've seen that may come tomorrow. They may be late putting those up. You don't have a lot of great action here, but I would take Christian Bezuidenhout at even money over Tom Hoagie, who seems to be struggling at the moment. They got some good matchups here. Taylor Montgomery gets Steven Yeager. They're both minus 110. That's hard to make a call there, to be honest. I want to tell you Steven Yeager, but if Taylor Montgomery even plays half-decent tee to green, he's got a chance to win this golf tournament. Maverick McNealy, I think, based on ranking, I would take him at even money against Adam Hadwin. That's a good matchup. That's actually quite interesting. And then Seamus Power and Adam Scott, they're both minus 110. I would take Adam Scott in that one and feel pretty good about it and go from there. They have golfer parlays, nationality props. Always kind of like to look at that market just to see. You know, you might see something you can kind of find some value on. Rest of the world plays start at plus 500, and there are quite a number of players in that group with Tom Kim and Jason Day and K.H. Lee and Hideki. If you look at the top Australian player, Jason Day's plus 130, Adam Scott plus 275. I could take an Adam Scott plus 275 there. I'm willing to work with that. I don't think Minwoo's playing that consistent golf. Everybody else is not great. You got to beat Jason Day. I'm willing to consider that worth the look. And then you've got wire-to-wire stuff, lead after one, here the tournament props, tournament specials. These things come up every week. Please don't bet any of them. Wire-to-wire winner, winner of the final grouping. Might even be considering firing on the winner and final grouping. No. It could be a blowout, but this is a golf course where you can go extremely low, and you're getting plus 175 for that to happen. Maybe it's a very small bet, $10, $20 bet, but just something to have a little sweat on. But I'm very willing to consider that there could be an out-of-nowhere kind of winner in the final day. And hole-in-one wagers, playoff specials, winning margin, all that. We talked about the winning margin yesterday, and I think the way to go there is one and two, skip playoff, or if you want to try and think about three wagers, then maybe one, two, and three. Just try to get those three right lined up next to each other. I just don't see this being a blowout kind of thing. The last 2 years have been one and two stroke wins at 25 and 26 under. This is a golf course where, again, you're going to make a lot of birdies, which means you can move up pretty quickly. It's going to be kind of hard to separate yourself. You're going to see a lot of like guys, 10 guys tied for a position on the leaderboard. So I think one, two, and three, if you're going to try and bet three things, you're going to try and bet two, just go with one and two. If you get the playoff, I'm sorry, but I think that makes the most logical sense. Want to get into, there's not much movement really on the Live Tulsa stuff. I don't really even see any of substance from yesterday. I can't imagine they take a lot of action on Live. Just there aren't a lot of people who watch it. And second, all of these venues are so unknown to the players. This one, Cedar Ridge, is totally unknown to bettors. Maybe to some of the players who have played at the OK State guys, which I talked about yesterday. Maybe you want to look in that direction this week. But other than that, nothing's really changed there again. Taylor Gooch, Brooks Koepka, makes sense. Patrick Reed's played well this year. Charles Howell III, Peter Uihlein, Matt Wolf. There's some OK State connections there. Brendan Steele, I think he was 40, and he has gotten shorter. I would look at Brendan Steele here because he plays well in the wind and has played well at the Valero Texas Open over the years. I would like him if there's any kind of wind whatsoever. So maybe that's one kind of sneaky play for this week. Also seems like there have been a number of random champions on LIV, but three times out, you've had Taylor Gooch and Brooks Koepka win those three. So better players are maybe starting to figure out how to win on LIV, or I don't know. Maybe that's part of it. So worth considering that maybe the random nature of these outcomes is starting to kind of go back the other way toward the better player, and it'll level itself out over time. But I still think the setup of LIV creates an opportunity for a lot of random outcomes because there's just so many birdies out there that pretty much anything can happen. And that's how Cage Lee wins twice in a row at Craig Ranch. Because if 20 under wins through three rounds, you got to play a different kind of golf to be able to win. And they don't really have tournaments so far where they're like, all right, these are our tough tournaments, and these are the easy ones, like the PGA Tour has. They're just all easy. And that makes it kind of tricky, I think, to bet. Want to look at the LPGA Cognizant Founders Cup for this week. It's a great golf course. Upper Montclair Country Club, Clifton, New Jersey, classic course. Jin Young Ko's played it well. Minji Lee's played it well. You've had some really interesting winners in this tournament in the short couple of years that it's been at Upper Montclair. If you're kind of looking at just ball striking numbers, I'm going to love Hannah Green pretty much every time out. Celine Boutier. Lexi Thompson's kind of interesting at 25-1. I think she played pretty okay in the International Crown. She seemed like she was working out some things, but that might be hard to fire on. I would fire on Jin Young Ko. I'm going to stay away from Lilia Vu for a little while, just because I think she's worn out from winning a major. Ataya Titikun, 9-1 this week. It seems right, given that she's played well, but that just seems so short. Maybe Lydia's a better choice there at 12-1. She seems a little, not as good as she was last year. Maybe a little value there. She maybe snaps into things a bit. Well, Georgia Hall comes back and plays at 18-1. She skipped the International Crown, left her England teammates high and dry, and now she's playing this week. I don't really like that very much. That kind of rubs me the wrong way, but she is playing very well this year. Megan Kang, really good ball striker, 40-1, I like a lot. Carla Segunda, she seems to be kind of figuring things out. She's 55. Patty T, she's an interesting case. Patty Tavitanikin. Because she struggled so mightily after winning the ANA Inspiration. And she seems to have swung back toward the other direction, toward the good again. And I think the International Crown is going to be a big thing for her. She was the only player to lose a single match for the Thailand team in the 12 that they played over the course of 4 days. Only one. And that's not a bad thing. I think she wound up, who did she lose to, Nelly Korda or Lilia Vu? I mean, a really good player for the United States team. I forget who it was. But 60-1 is an interesting number for her. I think she's starting to kind of come around, but I would look more toward a top 10 at plus 400 for her. And Jodi Urechanoff always kind of draws my attention because I think she's a really good ball striker. And she has the capacity to win tournaments now that she's finally lifted the lid on winning one. She's 60-1. I don't think any deep shot's really going to make a whole lot of noise this week. But if you want to consider Arya Jatanyagarn, 110-1, just had an inspirational week playing the International Crown. She and her sister played really, really well. They made a whole ton of putts. Seems like Arya feels comfortable, maybe hitting driver again, which could make her pretty interesting here. I think she's worth looking at. If you think Moria is a better fit here, she's 130-1, but I think Arya would probably be, if you're trying to ride a momentum play there, I think that would be where I would go with it in that tournament. And then the Sudal Open on the DP World Tour, that's in Belgium. So national open, so to speak, but not exactly. Thomas Dietrich and Alexander Bjork, Adrian Otegi, all 16-1. I think people would like to bet Dietrich because he is a national, right? He's a Belgian. And then you've got Bjork, who's a great ball striker. Otegi's playing pretty well. Jorge Campillo is 18-1, been playing, just racking up high finishes. Might be heading in that direction. 18-1 makes sense for me to bet him this week. After that, it starts kind of get a little tricky. I like Jazz. I know he didn't play his best at the Italian Open, but he is a great ball striker. 50-1, given the weaker field, might be a good number there. So people like Daniel Vantander at 55-1. I'm willing to consider that. Might like him better on a top 10 or pair that with a win bet and a plus 1,200 top 5 bet. Other than that, I think that's probably enough for me this week. This is a pretty difficult tournament because I don't know the golf course very well. Dan Bradbury might be interesting to me at 80-1. But I will, as always, recommend you listen to our friends Lost for Words. They are part of our GNN radio family. They have great coverage of the DP World Tour. They make picks every week on their couple of shows that they do. do one around DFS, and they do one around just outrights and tournament betting. Check that out. It's on Golf News Net Radio. You're over at golfnewsnet.com and check out the show page for it and just download or listen on demand. That's totally up to you, but cannot recommend them more. They do a great, great job looking at the DP World Tour. This is my kind of specialty, is the LPGA and the PGA Tour, obviously. So I'm willing to cede that space, obviously. And then you have no odds. They did post the odds. I was wondering if that. They did post the odds for the Regent's Tradition, which is the first major on the Champions Tour. You've got basically 10 players who can win this. I don't even think it's that. I think it's like 7 at most. You've got Steve Stricker plus 350, defending champion. This was like his comeback win after the illness that he had. It was a powerful moment for him. Patrick Harrington plus 450, Steve Alker plus 600. Those are the guys who are just kind of winning the most. Miguel Angel Jimenez had a great week last week. I'm pretty sure he's won this tournament before at this venue, Birmingham Golf and Country Club, 11-1. Ernie L is having a really nice year so far. Bernhard Langer plus 1800, Jerry Kelly, David Toms, 20-1, and then Stephen Ames, 25-1. So that's really, for me, where the winner is going to come from. It's one of those 9 guys. Now, do you want to try to get into a space with this tournament where, we've talked about this in the past, and you shorten up the list a little bit usually, but if you have 9 guys that can win, and you're just willing to put a little sprinkle on really all of them, you lose some money, obviously, if the top 3 guys win. If Stricker wins, Harrington, Alker win, you lose money. But if you place the same wager on all of those guys, and I'm, again, feeling pretty certain that they're going to be the ones who can win, then if you get Jimenez, Els, Langer, Kelly, Toms, Ames won twice this year already, that wins, then you come out ahead. And the guys that are well behind them that are maybe next best, like Retief Goosen, a 35-1, or maybe like a Brett Quigley comes out of nowhere kind of thing, or Darren Clark wins another major, depending on how he feels that week. Jim Furyk, 65-1. Those things can happen. I'm not saying they can't, but I think your most likely outcome is from those 9 players. You could do kind of not quite arbitrage, but that version of it where you're just trying to kind of put a little sprinkle on all of them and see if you come out net ahead. That's kind of a grinded out game. I don't know if you're interested in that, but if you are, that's the way I would play this. Otherwise, maybe I would take Stricker. I would take Alker. I would take probably Langer and just call it a day. Langer is going to get another win. It's coming. It's just when it comes. And this is a golf course where he can do it, I think. Just kind of depends on the conditions, but Stephen Ames at 25-1 does interest me. I know he just won last time out, but he has won twice this year, and maybe he's kind of vaulting himself into that Alker territory. Ames had a really nice career, won a Players' Championship on the PGA Tour, but vaults himself into kind of the conversation of one of the better players on this tour after having been on it, 5 years, whatever it is. All right, that's going to do it for us today on The Press. Thank you so much for listening to the show. If you can, leave a nice review for us. Give us a 5-star review if you're on one of those podcast platforms that lets you do that kind of thing. You can email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. You can get a hold of me on Twitter or Instagram @RyanBallingy. Join Golf News Net for $99 a year. We're going to try to do this today, hopefully. We're going to try and put up just a free-to-access strokes gained measure just so people can look through strokes gained and kind of see players in the field and current year where players are at strokes gained-wise. And then might try to put up some kind of tool around looking at how players compete in weaker events, stronger events, strongest events, give you a sense of that. And since we do that with the model that I run every week, I kind of want to put that into some context. So those couple of things will be coming down the pipe. The strokes gain stuff will be free. The weaker, stronger, strongest events, those will be for our members. We'll be back tomorrow with another show. We'll go over the final cards, everything, set the table for the week. And hopefully we have another winning week this week. Thanks so much for listening. We will talk to you next time on The Press.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here, right
now. Hey, it's Boxer.
And I'm Sarah Towns with Experience Columbus.
Did you know Columbus is home to the number one science museum in the country?
Ranked number 7 on Food and Wine's list of America's next great food cities.
And one of Condé Nast Traveler's top 10 best big cities in America.
Yes, Columbus. An Experience Columbus podcast keeps you in the know about what's happening in the Arch City.
Binge, listen to all the current episodes.
Or catch up on all things Columbus and discover what makes this city so special.
By the end, you'll be asking yourself, can all of this really exist in one city?
Yes, Columbus.
Owning a home is full of surprises. Some wonderful, some not so much. And when something breaks, it can feel like the whole day unravels. That's why HomeServe exists. For as little as $4.99 a month, you'll always have someone to call. A trusted professional ready to help, bringing peace of mind to 4.5 million homeowners nationwide. For plans starting at just $4.99 a month, go to HomeServe.com. That's HomeServe.com. Not available everywhere. Most plans range between $4.99 to $11.99 a month your first year. Terms apply on covered repairs.